just really grateful that the Lord has brought my husband and I here. He's led us here. Amen. And I just have to tell you, we have been to many churches over the years, and they're all good. They're all good people. But the minute we stepped foot in here, we felt like family. Amen. All right? And so that's what I just want to say about that. Today, I think the message that I want to bring, I don't believe in luck, but I'm going to call it a potluck message. Because I kind of got like a little, several things on my heart. But basically, the main thing is about receiving healing. That was the first revelation that the Lord began to show to me about how to receive and about Christ. And it really is based in love. Every bit of it is based in love. Now, I know a lot of you have experienced so many things, and I'm going to learn from you, and maybe today there's something that I can share that's going to be quickened to you that'll help you in some little, you know, area. But because it's Memorial Weekend, and we have been here, I want to start out about something about war. My sweet husband loves to watch war movies. So several years ago, for 3 days, we watched war movies all the time, like a bunch, which is cool. But after going on the third day, I felt a little shell-shocked. So I was praying about it, like, you know, is there something else? But anyways, the Lord said, just be kind, just let it go. And I asked my husband, I said, well, you know, you want me to massage your feet while you're watching the war movie? Because, you know, just get myself off me, right? That helps. And so, but while I was doing that, the Lord showed me, it's like I had a vision, and it was Jesus. And he was walking through a war zone. There were bombs going off, there were people yelling and screaming, it was chaos around, but I just remember Jesus walking in front of me. And it's not like he was oblivious to what was going on around him. He was aware of it, but he had complete composure and calm. And he looked back at me and he said, this is how you can walk all the time. I said, Lord, that's amazing. He said, because you will have assaults coming. I mean, we all realize we're in a war, right? We were born, enlisted, okay, whether we realized it or not. So that's what he was showing me about the war zone. And I said, okay, so then he started bringing these scriptures to me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. We've heard this, but there's a second part to it. And you shall condemn every evil spoken word. And that was the translation that I had. And I was like, well, what does that mean? And he said, you need to take Proverbs 18:21, and you need to learn that. All right? And remember what it says. It says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. We hear it. We have to be the ones to condemn these evil words spoken against us. We have to say no. And, you know, a lot of times what the enemy will try to do is he's going to use any device he can to try to steal the word from us, to try to take away our identity. And basically, that's what his agenda is. He wants us to come into agreement with what we see, smell, taste, hear, and feel, because that's through the flesh. He does not want you to take this word and use it and to know it. You don't have to walk around mad. You don't have to walk around angry all the time, but you have a righteous anger that will rise up in you. And I have some examples that, because I didn't know any of this. We weren't in church. Nobody ever talked about it. But I remember I started reading this word and getting this, you know, letting the Lord quicken this to me. And we had a person at our office that was diagnosed with cancer. It was a pretty serious thing, you know. He was believing for healing, and we were kind of had this protective. There's several ladies at the office that we had this protective. We were trying to protect him from people speaking doubt and unbelief to him. And he was under the sovereignty of God message. So he was kind of, you know, okay, I'm going to believe for healing, but I'm not sure, and if God wants it and wills it. So we were just trying to protect him, and I don't know if anybody knows this person, so I certainly won't give a name or anything, because I really like her. She's a really nice lady, But I remember one day she walked in her office and she is the sweetest little lady. Her face is real tiny like this. And she's real sweet and she's very kind and she has little Brits. And we had just got through praying for this person on his healing, just standing on it, thanking God he'd already been healed. She walked, I mean, it was 10 minutes later, I was sitting at my desk and she walks through the doors, goes straight up to him. And he's like, "Hi, how are you doing?" She goes, "I want you to know that they can tell you you don't have cancer, but that's not true. It'll never go. It'll always be there. I want you to know that." Well, he's just looking at her, and I don't really remember much, except I just remember just this anger rise up in me. And I actually have my fist clenched. Now, not to go over and deck this little old lady in the middle of the office. That's not what I meant to do. But I was so mad because I recognized it was the enemy working against her. I mean, through her, rather. So I remember walking over and kind of, because he was just staring at her. He didn't know what to say. I mean, she looked right at him and just stuck her finger in his face and told him that. And I remember just moving kind of in front and going, "I appreciate that you come in and you care for him like that. But I want you to know that the name of Jesus Christ is above every other name. And cancer is no big deal. It's nothing in the name of Jesus." And her mouth shut. She turned around and walked out. Now, I'm not mad at her. I recognize it wasn't her. But that's where we condemn those words. There's judgments trying to come against you. I remember when I was diagnosed with MS, I didn't have a clue about anything about it. I was still under the sovereignty of God message that I grew up with. And so when they told me, we did the brain scans and all that, and there's lesions on your brain and all this stuff, and it's like, okay, all right. So I guess, God, that's your will for my life. And I kind of touched on this before, but I was just, Satan had me on the ropes. Do you know what I mean? I was ready to accept that and just think, well, God's going to do a miracle, people will be healed through it or something, And so, they'll learn how to suffer through. And I was driving in the car, I was on 518, I'll never forget, I got a call from the neurologist's office. And whoever it was that called me, she said, "Well, I just wanted you to know that in your files it's written you have MS." I thought, that's weird. Why would she say that? I was like, okay, I've already talked to the neurologist. She goes, "No, Mrs. Groves, I want you to understand that. It is written in your file." And I was going, "What is she talking?" I said, "Okay." And she said it three times, she said that to me. And that's why it stands out. I knew exactly where I was when she said that. Well, I didn't know anything about what was going on in the spiritual world. And so later on, it wasn't too long later, the Lord started revealing to me, "That's not my will for your life. That's not my plan. And it's, you're going to be, you're healed, you're whole, you're complete." So right then, though, when I got that revelation in the Proverbs 18:21, "And no weapon formed against you shall prosper, you shall condemn every spoken word that's, every evil spoken word," I just remember going, "Oh, no, no. I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. I don't have you, MS. You will never have me. I don't have you." And I rebuke that and I say, "No, it is written. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I'm not waiting for it. I've got it. It's mine." And I said, "You have nothing. I don't even have faith in you. You are nothing." And I turned around and said, "I canceled that report in Jesus' name." And I walked off. And that was it. I walked away. And they called me back later and said something about it. "You're gonna, we have an MRI scheduled and all this stuff." And I said, "No, I'm not going back. I don't even care if they took a picture of my brain today. It might still show that. I don't care. I don't go by that. Praise God, I'm here. And I intend on being here. And I tell my body, 'You will serve me well all the days of my life. You're not gonna tell me what to do anymore. I'm going to tell you what the Word of God says because it is written.'"
Amen.
And I loved it when Rachel stood up that day and she said, "Enough. I'm tired of this." See, that's what you got to get. Don't you know, pity is not good. It's not good. And again, it's potluck, right? I'm throwing some things out here. I woke up one morning and I was feeling real like flu-like symptoms. I really felt terrible. I had all the symptoms of it. And my sister in Christ called me and she wanted to come borrow something. And I've been rebuking for hours. And so I said, yes, please, come. So when she pulls up in the driveway, I have my pajamas on, a robe on, my hair's all over. You know, I just been fighting all morning. And I'm feeling every bit of sick. And she said, girl, what's wrong with you? And I started going, well, okay, this is how it is. It's really, really bad. And she just looked at me, and I just love her so much because she didn't go, oh, come on, sit down, you know. And I'm not saying there's not a time to be, you know, but she didn't do that. She just looked at me. She said, girl, don't you know God lives on the inside of you? Get over here. She opened up a car door, grabbed the oil, splashed me here and there, and said, in the name of Jesus, get away from my sister's sickness. You have no power over her. And she turned around and walked off, and I've just got this little oil like dripping down my face. I'm like, is that it? That's all you're going to say? You got more prayer than that, you know? Okay, and I still feel, you know, bad. And she's like, so anyways, I want to come borrow some stuff from you. She goes in my house, and I'm like, okay, well, thanks. Appreciate the compassion. Y'all, you know, within an hour, it was gone. It was gone. And I mean, like I said, there is time to have that compassion, of course. You know, that's the ministry of Jesus Christ. But, you know, remember whenever the man was on the mat, he didn't walk over and say, let me pick you up, let me carry you over the cripple to the water. He said, you know, and he looked at me, he said, take up your mat and walk. Just go. You've been healed. And so that's what I just want to bring encouragement that we've already got it. That was the battle for me. Amen. I wasn't waiting to be healed. I was already healed. It's done in the spirit. Amen. And we're the ones that have to stand there and say, am I going to look at what's happening in the physical, or am I going to take the word of God, latch onto it, and walk in it? Amen. And that was for me. That was the deal with aspirin too. I mean, that's what I want to start with too, is me when I first took aspirin. I used to take it all the time, but I decided to, I heard people talking about healing, but I had to exercise, right? I mean, everybody understands about exercising your body. Some point, this had to be my revelation. I had to experience it. I had to start someplace. You can't go 0 to 60. So I woke up again. I had a headache one day. It was really, really bad headache. So I was going to go for the aspirin. And I said, no, at some point I've got to learn to take the word of God and make it real to me. So I said, no, and so I started rebuking this headache, saying, no, not going to have you. I resist you in Jesus' name. And all, just doing the rebuking and everything. Well, it got worse and worse and worse. It felt terrible. And so I went and laid down. And I remember the Lord speaking to me. And he said, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm rebuking this headache, laying here in pain, but I'm rebuking, Lord. And he said, I remember the scripture that floated up, it said, faith without works is dead. And I thought, okay. And he said, what would you normally be doing on Saturday? You need to do that. I'm like, move to the sofa and watch TV? What should you be doing on Saturday? Oh, cleaning. Oh, okay, go about my business. Okay, now let's go. So I throw the covers off, I get up, pounding. And I started walking through the house, just doing what I normally do and praising him for the healing. And it was gone. And that's the first time I remember ever having it that quick like that for a pain in my body. And it's just amazing how just walking it out like that. Does this making sense to anybody? Is this helping in any way at all, y'all? Because this is, like I said, it's hard to get it all out, what's been experiencing over the years. But it's people that just have to be my own revelation in it. And knowing that we've already got it, that's the main thing. But there's a couple things I wanted to tell you about too, about healing. And when I was a little girl, I remember I was with my dad and his best friend, and we went to a ball game. And I remember this, that my friend's dad, I mean, my dad's friend found a $10 bill and he gave it to me. And I was like, wow, that's awesome. So I had that bill and I clutched it tight. My dad said, don't let it go. I said, I won't let it go. He goes, it's yours. I said, I know, I got it. Don't worry about it. I got it. Well, I'm sitting in the stands and these teenage girls came and sat behind us. And my dad was talking to his friend about the game, and she leaned over and she said, that's my $10 bill, I dropped it. That's my money. I went, oh, here. And I turned around and gave it to her. They giggled and they ran off. Well, even as a little kid, I knew, okay, I think I've been duped here. I mean, you know, and it's like they were able to take that away, and that's what the enemy will try to do. You can't lose a healing. You can be talked out of it, but you can't lose it, okay? And that's what happens when a pain, when you've been healed, like we pray here, and you're healed, and then you go and you feel a pain again, or you, that's what the enemy's trying to say. I know that God, I know he knows what the word says, but he's not sure if you know what the word says. He'll try to talk you out of it. That pain's come back. Oh, I better run to the church and get healed again and again. I'm not saying to be, we can be prayed for several. I love being prayed for and coming to agreement. Okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But again, I'm also saying, I know I've been healed. I'm getting my brother and sister to come into agreement. These symptoms will not be persistent, and get them to pray. I know I was healed the first. It was happened over 2,000 years ago. It was already done. It was settled. But again, I have to know that, and I have to walk in that and know and stand my ground. And there's just, like I said, it's just got to be a righteous anger that rises up inside of you that says, I won't take this anymore. I'm going to stand in the word of God. Amen. And that's it. I've already been healed. You know, how can you be worried whether you're going to get it if you know you've already got it? That's amazing. If somebody hands you something and you have it in your hand, and then you got to guess, well, I guess I'm going to get it. You've already got it. How's God going to respond to that? He's loving. He's kind. He's merciful. And he loves it, you know, to teach us and to guide us. But if you know you've already got it, that to me, that was the half the battle right there. To know that I already had this healing. It's already mine. Okay. And I just had to learn, though, that faith is actually our positive response to what God has already provided by grace. It's the bridge. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Good.
It's already there. So our faith, see, that's where works. Works is not like I've got to do everything right. I've got to pray every day. I've got to do it all right, read the word. I mean, I love getting in the word. But what it actually is, means is that when you believe something, you're going to act on it. You're going to start walking like that. You know, one of the best testimonies I ever heard was a man. It was through Andrew Womack's ministry. And this man was under this teaching that in their church, sin was, if you had sin in your life, which in a way it could be an inroad open to the enemy. But they were saying God wouldn't heal you if you had sin in your life. And that's a whole different way of approaching there. That's not the right way. But what this man had was he had just like a little blemish. And I don't want to make a big deal out of it, but it was like a little blemish and it started changing and growing rapidly. And when he went to the doctor, they said it was a very aggressive form of cancer, that it had to be dealt with now. Like they were ready to get him admitted that day. And he called his pastor, he called his wife, and the pastor said, well, you know, we'll pray about it. Well, he believed God was going to heal him. And he decided he wasn't going for treatment. The doctor made him sign a form saying that he wouldn't be responsible for his life. That's how serious this thing was. So what he ended up doing was he was so convinced, he started taking newspaper with the date and holding it up with the showing that this thing. And it got worse and worse, and the church kept telling him, well, you've got to look for some more sin in your life. You still got sin someplace. You got it, you know, they're just under a different, you know, just come and get it wrong. So he sat there and he actually had these newspapers where it showed it growing, and it got pretty bad. I mean, it was like this huge thing on his chest. And They had to support it. It was just too, you know, I don't want, like I said, I'm not here to exalt that thing, but it was nasty. It was gross. And it was demonic. It was so demonic. But he kept expecting, waiting for God to heal him. And so finally, at one point, his wife, I mean, he had to quit his job. He was at home. It was really, really bad. And he was, it was basically, he was sucking the life out of him. And he still was believing God. And he, his own testimony, he said, I was laying there. And he said, basically, I was dying. And it had been about a year, almost 2 years now. And somebody gave him the message that God wants you well and he's already healed you. And he took that message, and it just, he went to the Word and saw it in the Word, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. It just clicked. And he told his wife, he said, he showed her the message, she agreed. And they stood there in the kitchen, came into agreement that he was healed. Okay, so he looked at her and he said, I'm going outside. She goes, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going to trim the hedges. She goes, okay, you feel like doing that? He goes, I am a healed person. I am going to do what a healed person would do. From that moment, and he started walking. He went out, I mean, he started going back doing things he normally would do every day. And the thing was still there. 2 weeks later, she had to actually wrap it up and put perfumes and stuff on it, you know, just different things because it was so bad. It just smelled and everything. It was gross. But she knew how much wrapping she needed to wrap this thing up. And they actually had like a halter that he would wear to hold it. And she realized that day she had wrapping left over. She goes, honey, I think this thing is shrinking. And she said his response was, of course it is. Of course. And it was about 6 months later, it was completely gone. I mean, if you want to go in and look, his testimony is powerful. And I mean, it was so amazing, but that thing was completely gone. And I've talked to him on the phone. And see, that's what's cool is when you get to meet some of these people in person, you get to talk to him about it. But I called one day, and he works at a prayer ministry there at Andrew Womack's. And so I called and got him on, and I asked him, I said, are you so-and-so? You know, because he told me his first name, and he goes, yeah, it's me, and it's an awesome testimony. I loved it. And so, praise God. And, you know, I mean, it's not like there's a formula we have to go by, but there are spiritual laws involved. And God shows him in his word what these laws are. So, you know, there's things that we have to come into agreement with. But man, once you latch on to that, we're coming from the victory. We're not waiting for anything. We've already got everything we'll ever need. In Ephesians, it says that when we were born again, we were made to sit in heavenly places. Our spirits are there already. But it's our bodies, our minds have to be renewed, and then we come into agreement with the Word of God, and it will manifest in our bodies. But guys, does this make any sense to anybody? Is this like, okay? Because y'all can just, you know, come back and say something if you want. That's all right. But I just wanted to say a couple of things. Another thing. Ooh, this was important. For me, I was a baby of the family still. Yeah. My sisters are 6, 7, and 10 years older than I am. And I did everything they said because I was afraid of them. And still, a little bit of still kind of, sort of. But my niece was going to get married, or she did get married, but my mother was so excited to go, and she started back, and she was, she's one of these, what she was like considered a brittle diabetic, where she would, her blood sugar would drop from 150 down to so fast. She hovers around 200 and she's good. That's just weird, I know, and I shouldn't say good way, but at the time, that's what we were experiencing. And so she was so excited, though, about the wedding, to go to my niece's wedding. But that morning, she woke up, and just everything went crazy with her blood sugar. It was the enemy just causing strife and confusion in the family. And my sister, who lived with her, said, hi, the EMS is here, and they can't get her to respond. And we're going to the emergency room now. I mean, they couldn't even get her to nothing was happening. Everything they were doing, her body wasn't responding to it. So my older sister said, you need to, you know, I've got to take care of Katie here. We've got a wedding here. Can you go there? And I just said, yeah, absolutely. We'll all go. So when I get in, and nothing against my family. I love them. And I've been the same way before. So, I mean, it's not like I, you know, I still fight and battle things too. But I was, we were in the emergency room, and it was a miracle we got to be actually in the room they were working on her. She's over on the table. And at one point, one of my siblings was standing next to me, and the doctor was coming in, and they were going in and out trying to, you know, do things. And she said, can you go ahead and tell us exactly what's happening here? And he looked at her and he said, all right. He said, everything's shutting down. Her kidneys are dying. They're filling. Her blood, you know, her liver. And he starts naming these things. Well, right immediately the Holy Spirit said, you need to rebuke this. And so I turned around and looked at my mother's body. I didn't yell. I didn't scream. I didn't make a scene. I just looked over at her. And when he said something, your liver, I said, your liver's healed in Jesus' name. Liver, you're well. And he's saying, lungs, your lungs are functioning perfectly. Mm-hmm. And they started just, everything he would name, I would counter. At one point, I got shoved in the back. Just kind of a nudge. And he's like, shh, be quiet. I can't hear what he's saying. I wasn't talking loud. And the Lord spoke to my heart immediately. He said, that's the enemy. Don't pay attention. So I just kept going and just speaking life into my mother. They would say something, and you would say, and I would speak and call directly to that thing, saying, no, you're not. No, you're not. No, you're not. In Jesus' name, you're working, working. This time, I got pushed so hard, I fell forward. Shut up. Shut up. I can't hear what he's saying. And again, I was not talking loud. But that, the Lord said, keep going. So I just kept going, and kept, you know, and so again, I mean, it's hard when you have family and you're in the middle of that, but you've got to stand with the word of God. People love you and they can be sincere, but they can be sincerely wrong.
Amen. Yeah.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I just kept doing that. And then they were putting, you know, what is it when they put the deal down your throat, you know, so you can breathe and everything. And basically we're putting her on life support. And they took her up to the room, and I walked in, because my niece, I told my sister, I said, well, I'll be there at the wedding. And so I went up there, and the nurse was putting bags and stuff and all that, you know, doing what they do. And I just looked and looked over at Mom, and I had the complete peace all just flowing, just looked at her. And I said, Mom, I said, Jesus has healed you, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Love you. And I glanced at the nurse, and she just kind of gives me the look of, because we were told she wouldn't make it, but it'd be that night. You know, they just said, we can't stop this. So I went to the wedding, and well, actually that afternoon, I remember right before the wedding, I was getting dressed. And I was like, oh Lord, I said, Mom, I'm so looking forward to going to this wedding. And he's so precious, because she didn't miss the wedding. And I said, oh, that's good, Lord. That's good. So I said, all right. So, anyways, the next day, my older sister called me. She goes, okay, here's the deal. I'm like at the hospital and Mom's wanting coffee. So, you just might, you know, just come by here whenever you want to. This is kind of freaky. I said, oh, it's Jesus. That's all. It's Jesus. It's just how he does. So, I got there and this nurse was fixing to get off duty. That had been there the, you know, day, but anyways, I guess she pulled a double shift, I don't know, but she was still there. And I just looked at her, and she glanced at me, and I said, so what happened? And she said, wondrous works here. And that was about, they've been married about 7 years now. And I talked to Mom the other day. She's good. She's good. So praise the Lord. You know, y'all, just, again, it's we're talked out of so much, and we've got to learn. I mean, like I said, and it's so sad, but, you know, the enemy just try to use family and stuff. I mean, it's that's where persecution comes, really and truly. Most of the time, it's people rolling their eyes. When you stand up for the Word of God, and you start walking in like this, people don't, they just, a lot of times it makes them feel real uncomfortable. you know? And when I just started, you know, you'd think people would be excited. You got this, you know? But I think sometimes people think, well, how come my loved ones aren't getting healed, or I'm not feeling this? It's nothing like that. We're all learning and growing. Mm-hmm. And I'm not doing this perfectly, and I don't know anybody who ever is. I don't believe anybody's walking in perfect faith. Nobody. All right? We have the faith of Jesus, but we're still learning and growing, and no condemnation, but at least we got to start someplace and know. All right? I mean, the Lord's just so good to you know, help us with that. And there's so much. I'll give a couple more. So if you don't mind, is that all right with y'all? Give some examples and then we'll just go. But I remember Smith Wigglesworth. I learned a lot. I've been gleaning a lot from him, and I'd never even heard of him before, Angie Woman's Ministry. But I started reading his book, and he's amazing. If you've ever read, he would not be politically correct today, because he was pretty intense on what he used. You've read his books, right, and how what he would do. And he would be very aggressive when it came to healing. He would just stand, and people would be, he would just have some drastic ways of doing it. He'd been known, and he'd been known to, like, I was reading where he would, you know, just actually, you know, one guy he punched. And, I mean, just different things like that. But, you know, there was healing. And so, but they said he was the kindest man, the most kind and hearted man you'd ever meet. But when it came to dealing with the works of the devil, he just didn't hold back. He just gave it, you know. Anyways, leading up to this, my husband, she said I could tell about this. He had problems with his hip. And we had gone to the doctor, and they said, we're going to try medication. And it was so painful, his hip, the problem he was having just was so painful. And he said, well, try this for a while. If that doesn't work, we might be looking at surgery here. So he did the medication, and it wasn't getting any better. And I remember one night we were laying in bed watching TV. And so he just turned slightly in the bed, and I caught the look on his face that was so painful. And it hurt me so much to see him like that. I didn't even think about it, but I just hit him right in that hip. I said, pain, leave in the name of Jesus. I just said it like that, you know, and he gasped, you know, kind of like, and I went, I'm so sorry. Are you all right? And he kind of laid there a minute, and he kind of moved. I said, talk to me. Are you okay? Because I hit him hard. And he goes, yeah. I said, seriously. He goes, yeah. Yeah. And he didn't say anything else. And I said, the pain's gone, isn't it? He goes, yeah, it's gone. And I mean, no, I won't go around hitting y'all. I don't make that like that. It shocked me when I did it, you know, but I'm just saying, God's so amazing. You know, but, and there's just times I'm praying for people. Just real quick, there's a couple. I want you to know that not everybody wants to be healed. And I know that sounds funny, but Jesus, he never really ever forced. Just like he won't force salvation, he won't force it. I was praying, I was talking to a guy one day in a wheelchair, and he was a young guy. And I just remember saying, I just couldn't wait to pray for him because I was getting this revelation. God, you're amazing. It's already been done. Everybody's going to know about this, you know. Just waiting to pray for people. I'm so excited about it because you don't want to see anybody hurting, right? So I was talking to him, and he was agreeing with everything about what the Word says. And I just remember I was fixing to ask him, you know. I popped the question, you know, hey, you know, let's pray and see you come out of this wheelchair. And the Lord spoke to me, and he said, ask him if he wants to be healed. Well, I almost wanted to argue, but I thought it'd be a good idea if I didn't. And so I was like, of course he wants to be healed. Okay, can I ask you a question? Do you want to come out of that wheelchair? And amazing, he goes, eventually. Oh, okay. And I was like, all right, well, okay. And I mean, I just, what are you going to do with that? And the Lord showed me later, I found out a little bit more. He was getting a lot of money from the government. He was also, he was comfortable in that position because of what he was receiving from other people. He didn't, and I know it sounds bad, y'all, and that's not everybody's heart, but he really didn't want to, he didn't want to get better. So anyways, but I'm not going to keep y'all. There's so much. Okay, but I'm going to stop now. I know you've got things to do and places to go and all that. But does this, I just hope that helps a little bit.
Yes.
It just kind of touches on it, okay? All right.
Thank you. So I don't know about y'all, but I needed a message about healing today, and we got one, right? So just a couple quick announcements before we go. Just to remind y'all, there is no service on Wednesday night. And it will be Philip Baker next week. And then we will have our pastors back.
Yay.
So if y'all would, pray with me. And y'all stand. And we'll pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you. Lord, thank you for this message today. Thank you for healing and making strong this entire congregation as we go about this war zone of the world. Bless us, lead us, and guide us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We receive it.
Just real quick, one more thing I wanted to add to what Brenda shared this morning. A lot of what she was saying, you know, for the people, for those of us who do want healing, that are wanting to be healed and know that Jesus is our healer, something that came up in my spirit as she was talking is, you know how when you go to a movie theater now, you can buy tickets and you already have your reserved seats. But I don't know if any of y'all have had this happen, but when you go in the theater, sometimes there are people just for free sitting in your seats that have decided to sneak into the movie and sit where you have, you know, F7, that's my chair. And you have to, a lot of times spiritually, I think we see the devil robbing us of what's ours, and we kind of go, oh, okay, I guess I'll leave now. No, tell them to get out, tell the devil to get out of your chair. That is your seat. You paid for that ticket. Jesus paid for that ticket. That's yours.
Amen.
So take it. Tell him, get out of your chair. So
that's right.
God bless y'all.